see all the familiar faces, and to know that you are our prayer warriors. What a blessing to have so many wonderful Amen. Friends that not only pray for us, but pray for all our missionaries and give so faithfully. And you too, so many of them are missionaries right where you are. You know, last year I spoke at a church to a group of children, and Joy mentioned that little episode that happened many, many years ago to me. So the boy came up to me one time and he shook my hand and his mom said, "Now, Carl, you can say that you touched a real life missionary." And you know, what a blessing this summer when we had the one of the youth groups that came, and this young man came up to me and said, "My father touched you when he was a little boy," and said he couldn't wait until I could come and meet you. And so I had a real privilege and pleasure of dealing with him and encouraging him. And the Lord has really made a difference in his life. And that's just one of our blessings of being on the mission field. As we have a group, we have youth groups that have started coming. In fact, this is the ninth year for this one church youth group to come, and they had 38 this year that came, and for 12 days, that was something. And it was a blessing, and to hear the youth pastor tell us that so many of those young people are either on the mission field today in short-term missionary work, or they're preparing in Bible institutes, Bible schools to go. Are they preparing for full-time missionary service? And many of them made their decision when they came to Mexico and saw street preaching, saw and started passing out tracts, started witnessing, and got excited and saw mission work in the nitty-gritty, everyday, mundane type of life. And I'm a missionary wife who enjoys being a missionary wife and enjoy my home. A lot of times my ministry, I feel like it's the kitchen so many times. We had, two groups this summer, one group of 15 kids for 12 days, and they left noon one day, and at midnight that same day, 38 arrived. So that was quite a job, and they stayed for 12 days. So we had a big group, but you know what a blessing I've had to be in the kitchen and be able to actually deal one-on-one with a lot of these kids, guys and gals together. I get to ask them all kinds of questions. Where are you going? What are your plans? What has the Lord done in your life? What kind of home do you have? And I really have had some good personal time with these kids. And I think it's so important that they see what missionary life is, but in the home. Other words, our relationship, my relationship with my husband. It's very important to these kids because so many of these kids, even though many of them come from Christian homes, supposedly, they've never experienced a real home, a real missionary, a real Christian home where there's love and care and there's companionship and working together. And so that's important. And so I feel like as a missionary wife, that's part of one of my very special, jobs. Is to be a good missionary wife who follows her husband. And so I just had some thoughts this time as I began to plan about what I would speak on. Maybe give you some beatitudes for a missionary wife. You know, there's lots of bees. In fact, there were so many bees, and they also speak in gardens, pages and pages of bees. And so I had to really, I've been working on this for a long time when I got the idea, and I've had to shrink it down just to a few. But there are a lot of beatitudes. Our attitude, you know, last year I said how important our attitude is, just as Christians, not just a woman, but just as Christians. What kind of attitude do you have towards in your work, in your job, in your everyday life, in your home, with your family, with your children? What kind of attitude do you have? And so I thought, well, you know, what are our beatitudes? As a missionary wife, we should have some beatitudes. And the one is the most well-known, it's in Joshua 1:9. Of course, that's one that we've all heard many times, if you'll turn with me. It's one that's so important. And I think we can use this, apply this to us. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest."
Amen.
To me, it's so important just to be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid and don't be dismayed. So that's the first big attitude of a missionary wife. Then in Psalm 71:12, There are so many. I mean, you can just really, there's many, many more than I can even mention this morning, but I just picked out just a very few. Psalm 71:12, O Lord, be not far from me. O Lord, make haste for my help. So this is talking about being strong. And in verse 3, right above there, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. So he is our strength. And we need to pray and really rely on that strength every day. And then we need to be glad and rejoice. This is in Psalm 31. I think this is one of the things, in especially on the mission field, any kind of prep, any kind of Christian work, that's really difficult sometimes, is to be able to rejoice and be glad. 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy.
Amen.
That sounds to me like it's something that you've determined you're going to do. And sometimes, isn't it true, Marty, you have to determine to be glad and rejoice. Sometimes it's not such a joyful feeling when you're dealing with the kids. You're dealing with Chencho and Miguel. When I'm just dealing with people every day, come to my door and call us. You have to determine to be glad and rejoice.
Amen.
I think, and then there's another one that I enjoy. I put this as the last verse before I left. I put it on my refrigerator. It's been such a blessing. I enjoy putting these things on my refrigerator. Because when I'm opening the door, I can see this verse. 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day.
Amen.
That's just from early morning to late at night. Just let my mouth be filled with your praise. You might say, well, living with Dale West, everybody can be happy. You know, I mean, good night. He's always happy and he always joyful. But, you know, that kind of gets to you after a while. When you don't, when you don't feel like being rejoicing and he's telling me to do something I don't really exactly want to do. To be glad and rejoice anyway. It's not that easy sometimes. But I try to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it and I'm going to be happy and joyful. I look on my refrigerator and see this verse.
Amen.
Okay, and then we need to, in Hebrews 13:5, we need to be content.
Amen.
To be content. I appreciated Joey's message this morning about being standing in the gap. I tell you, just be content, Joey, because you know that's where the Lord wants you. And you just stand. Amen. That was a real blessing. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessing when we're on the field and things aren't going just like we feel like they should. To realize, Lord, just give me contentment.
Amen.
You put me here and just give me the contentment.
Amen.
And then Philippians 4:6 is one that we know so well. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
You know what a blessing it is to me to realize that everything that we, all our petitions, our supplications, we can thank God for them before he gives them to us, because we know that he'll give us exactly what we need.
Amen.
And we can thank him for it, and we can be happy, and we can be content. And then in Ephesians 4:32, we see, be ye kind. And you know, that's hard to do sometimes. Not with just fellow workers, but with people that come to your door all the time. Just, you know, people that come wanting various and sundry things. But just to be, to remember to be kind. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Aren't you thankful that God, that
Amen.
Christ forgave us
Amen.
Our sins? God looked down through his son's righteousness and saw us as righteous. And you know, we can be forgiving and we can be kind and loving to people because we know that what Christ did for us. And so that's, to me, such a blessing. Not as the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Thank the Lord he doesn't do that, does he? He does it through Christ's righteousness. And then Romans 12:10 is a verse that's very important. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. The other day when I was looking these verses over, and I was mentioning to Dale, you know, that really, I guess, hit me for the first time really hard, the last part of that verse, in honor preferring one another.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's not easy when you're special in the mission field, when things, people come to your door and to think about them as better than yourself. Preferring what they want and preferring, sometimes, you know, when Dale and I just try to have just a couple, 3 hours, you know, just by ourselves. and someone rings on the phone and he needs to go. It's awful hard to say, okay, Lord, you know, what he needs is much more important than what I need. It's tough to do that, but yet he tells us to do that, doesn't he? Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love.
Amen.
In honor, preferring one another. And then, in that same chapter, verse 16, is such a good verse. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That one sentence really hit me between the eyes. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Put their things more important than mine. And as a missionary wife, so many times we have to give our husbands so many times to things that we, and then we feel like, well, you know, poor little me. What about me and my needs? But you know, this verse says, condescend to men of low estate. And honor, preferring one another. It's important. Be not wise in your own conceit. All these B's, B attitudes, I think, are so important.
Amen.
And then, 1 Peter 5:8. I don't know what Peter is. 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. How careful we need to be, ladies, because we're not above being tempted. And we're not above being the devil working on us. In fact, he can work on us through this very thing of, you know, not wanting to give our husbands to the work, wanting to be selfish and having more time for ourselves. And he can use that as a tool to get to our heart and to give us dissatisfaction and discontent. So we need to be so careful. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, always watching. And then James 1:22, verse that we all know. Learned this problem when we were very small. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So how important it is that we need to literally practice what we preach, right? In other words, don't just say the words, but live in such a way that people can see your attitude is what it ought to be. So your attitude about this is important. And then I think the two verses that perhaps to me, at least I'll say this. To me, the two verses that I have really stood by, of course, is Romans 8:28, which has always been my verse.
Amen.
But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called upon His purpose. That is, to me, my verse. All things work together. Didn't say they were good, they look good or feel good, but they work together for our good. And we stand on that verse, and we've done it for years. And then the other one is Philippians 1:6, and you might want to look this one up. To me, this, I think, in dealing with our people in the church in San Luis, this verse has come to mean so much to me, such a promise we have. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's one of our beatitudes, being confident. He is not going to leave these people in the middle. The people that are his, he is going to finish the work in their
lives. Amen.
What a blessing. And you know, when they do stupid things and you think, oh, got to go counsel this family, Daniel, they're having problems, or these kids or these teenagers, whatever, just rely on Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a work in you shall look upon. To me, what a blessing. And then last but not least, which is perhaps the thing that you're wondering what I'm going to talk about. It's always one that's kind of hard. Is be submissive and subject to your husband. 1 Peter 3:1. Perhaps on the mission field, at least in our situation, I think the wives, this is probably the one thing that our people are watching and looking for more than anything else. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands.
Amen.
That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know, this is a verse that we have used, Martin and I have used many times with our ladies. You have to be in subjection to your husbands. And they, in God's time, if you're faithful, they'll be won by your manner of living in front of them. And that's so important, especially in Mexico, when the women have been pretty well trampled on many, many years. We have to be strong and prayerful as we teach. You have to be in submission to your husbands. And we have seen many victories because of this thing. We just praise the Lord. And then in Ephesians 5, the faithful passage, 5:22-24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Be subject, be submissive to your husbands in everything. In everything, Lord? Everything? Everything.
Amen.
And how tough. I'm not saying it's easy, ladies. I'm not saying it's easy. But what a blessing. What a blessing when God gets a victory and we can say, Amen, Lord. I know Marty. Sometimes she says, how do you? And you should be there. And they will ask me. Yeah, he's downstairs. And if you've been to my house, you know what a stairway I have like this. And they will say, honey, would you please go get such and such upstairs for me? And maybe I just got downstairs. She'll say, how do you do that? How can you do that? Well, I said, I can't always do it with victory, but I'm trying. I'm trying. And you know, it's so important, ladies, in these beatitudes, not just of a missionary wife, but as a wife.
Amen.
In general. Can I have these attitudes, beatitudes right in your heart and not be the type of person who would, say, well, only, you know, when he's right, am I going to obey him? But, you know, just obey what the Lord said. I wrote a little, I'm always writing little ditties, you know. I was telling Marty one time, write a poem. She wanted to give Dale something for his birthday. And I said, she said, I don't have any money. I said, Marty, write a poem. Write a poem. Oh, I can't. Got inspired. I said, you'd be surprised what you can do. Just try it. I encourage her to do it. And I'm glad she's doing it now. She's enjoying it. I wrote this little thing once, when I was asked to speak, following your husband anywhere, you know, in a missionary conference. And so, I trust that I'll be known as a wife who does follow.
Amen.
Her husband anywhere. And it's such a blessing when you have that harmony. It doesn't always mean things are going to be rosy. Not always mean no problems, but it's going to be a blessed life. A life of fulfillment, a life of peace, and the Lord is going to bless your ministry. Anyway, I wrote this little thing about the opposite thing, okay? When you gave me my mate, Lord, for better or for worse, could you have made the mistake, Lord? Is it a blessing or a curse? I really love him dearly, Lord. I cherish him, it's true. But I can't always see so clearly, Lord, when he tells me what to do. I just don't feel so sure, Lord, that he knows what's best for me. I like to feel secure, Lord. It means so much, you see. What would I ever do, Lord, if he decides to go to far-off Timbuktu, Lord, or the wilds of Quintana Roo? I'll have to speak my mind, Lord. I'll have to have my say. Why, he just may be blind, Lord, or he may not know the way. So why not speak to me, Lord, and tell me all your plan? A woman can plainly see much better than a man.